This is Capital Chat. This is Jeff Shapiro, politics columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Here today, the boss, Andrew Kane, politics editor of the newspaper, an unrepentant Nationals fan, and very excited about the trajectory of his team. But speaking of trajectories, there's a legislative election fast approaching, and Andrew has supervised what can only be described as a reader service exercise, a candidate's guide that will appear as part of the Sunday Times-Dispatch. Andrew, can you talk a bit about the evolution of this project?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me, and thanks for the shout-out to the Nationals. I'm a little fatalistic, but let's hope for the best. We started working 2 months ago with our colleague Pam Stahlsmith, the opinions editor, and we sent out an omnibus questionnaire to candidates in 18 local legislative races, six contests for the state Senate and 12 for the House of Delegates, all in the Richmond area. The news department asked three questions, and the opinions folks asked an additional five. The three questions from the news department were essentially, why should voters elect you to represent the legislative seat? Name three policy issues that you want to tackle and why. And then the third one was something of a wild card. What is an issue that you think doesn't get enough attention in the General Assembly? And that became an interesting sort of window into how these folks think. The opinions department asked five additional questions, as I mentioned. Those are more specific in nature. They are about roads, improving test scores, economic growth, and prescription drugs.
Without getting into the details of some of those answers to the, as you put it, wild card question, can you nonetheless at least give us some idea of maybe the range of responses? And were there any surprises?
Well, it was intriguing because it sort of reflects the personal experience of the folks who are running for these seats, and it underscores that these are folks with different and worthy life experiences. Some folks say they want to give more attention to protecting victims of domestic violence. Others want to do what they can to help reduce gun violence. Some talk about tax reform. Others talk about environmental protection or foster care or rural broadband. So it's really across the board, and it's an intriguing window into how these folks think.
Also, it being a campaign, the candidates have ample opportunity to communicate their own messages themselves. But maybe you could provide a distinction between what we're trying to offer readers in this final run up to the election, and what the candidates themselves are saying.
Yeah, we really strived to differentiate this project from what folks are seeing in the flyers that are deluging their mailboxes right now, and what they're seeing on television. Those are largely attack ads, sometimes taking things out of context. And, you know, this happens on both sides. And what we really wanted to do here is to really let folks think about and communicate how they would govern. Because this level of government, while it doesn't get the same attention as congressional elections, U.S. Senate elections, gubernatorial elections, these are the governmental bodies that really affect people's lives. You know, everything from the state budget to taxes to public safety, your kids' education. So we wanted to see what they think is most important, how they want to spend taxpayer dollars, what they want to actually accomplish instead of just attacking their rival.
We've talked about this over the months, and another factor in all of this has bodies closest to the people, the House and the Senate, of course, is that these bodies may be closer to some people than others based on something that's going to occur in 2021 as the next redistricting. So maybe just quickly, can you talk about this campaign as essentially setting the table for 2021? And maybe this is something that shaded some of the answers that you received.
It could be. You know, after the once every 10 years, we get the census, and the year following the census, the legislators will redraw the lines, the boundaries for the legislative and congressional districts. And a big question now is how that process is going to occur in 2021. You'll recall that last year, legislators passed the first draft of a state constitutional amendment that would change the process for how we pick, how we redraw the boundaries. The question now becomes whether they would reinforce that decision this year or scrap it, depending on who's in power after November 5.
Was there any concern expressed by candidates participating in the survey about what's happening with redistricting? Is that a matter that they're keeping in mind?
Some of them said, yes, that they think it needs to be a nonpartisan or bipartisan process. You and I know that, you know, for the last three decades, depending on which party was in power, it's been, you know, the party in power draws the lines. And some folks, particularly some of the challengers, say that it needs to be a more open process and that the lawmaker shouldn't be drawing the district and picking their voters. The voters should be picking the legislators.
Can we talk a bit about the people who participated in the survey? That would include, for instance, incumbent legislators and challengers running in districts that have been redrawn, at least on an interim basis, because of continuing disputes over redistricting.
We received responses from 33 of the 36 to whom we sent these inquiries, and some of those are folks running in districts that have changed, such as Speaker Kirk Cox, who's running down in Colonial Heights and in Chesterfield, in a significantly changed district. Sheila Bynum Coleman, who previously has run against Delegate Riley Ingram, who is based in the Hopewell area.
Came very close.
Yes, she did, particularly the last time out in 2017. Speaker Cox, in his responses, doesn't really allude to the redistricting. He talks about, you know, keeping Virginia what, in his view, is a good place to do business. He also talks about his longtime interest in improving services for veterans.
Of course, the district is adjacent to Fort Lee, a substantial military presence in this area. Some of the other candidates would include Joe Morrissey, the presumed Democratic senator from a district that runs from Petersburg to Richmond.
Right. And Mr. Morrissey talks about how in the past, during his service in the House of Delegates, he was, in his words, Johnny on the spot. He noticed potholes. He noticed things that were of interest to people in the community and worked to get them addressed. Rosalind Dance, the senator that he upset in a primary, said, you know, this isn't a city council position, but Mr. Morrissey said, you know, these are the kinds of things people care about. So he talked about his active constituent service, and he says that he will have the same kind of approach if he's elected to the state Senate.
There are also some very competitive, or believed to be very competitive, state Senate races in the Richmond area. One in Chesterfield between Glenn Sturdivant, the Republican incumbent, Ghazal Hashmi, the Democratic challenger, in the Henrico County, southern Hanover County area. Siobhan Dunnement, Republican incumbent, is faced by Deborah Rodman. Quickly, what kinds of things were these candidates touching on in their responses?
Well, Senator Dunnement talks about how she got a number, you know, more than 50 pieces of legislation passed, even with Democratic governors. And she talks about how she's worked on health care and she will never support a government solution, in her words. Deborah Rodman talks about how she supported Medicaid expansion and abortion rights, and she says that she would be protecting health care if she's elected to the Senate.
Now finally, and perhaps this is something that should have been underscored at the top of our conversation, these are the candidates talking about their candidacy in their own words. Will readers, whether they are print readers or online readers, see a difference between the print and online versions of these reader surveys?
They will, yes. And we explain this in both the print and online versions. Given the space limitations naturally in print, we've limited the responses to 100 words each for the print publication. And we are going to provide the answers to two of the three questions in our print version on Sunday. But on Richmond.com, you'll get the full unfettered responses to each of the news questions, all three of them. And similarly, in the RTD opinions package, you'll see excerpts in print on Sunday, but you'll get the full, complete answers to all five of their questions online.
thanks to Andrew Kane for a full and unfettered snapshot of this project forthcoming in the Sunday Times-Dispatch. This is Jeff Shapiro for Capital Chat. Join us again next week.